kept by the power of God.
Beloved in the Lord, it's good to be here to attend your convention. I love to go to the conventions. I love to be with the brethren. For many, many years, I've practically lived with the brethren throughout the country, Canada, Newfoundland, traveling. The Lord made plain to us that He would make us fishermen of men. And as you all know, I've served many times here in Buffalo. I told the brother my subject would be kept by the power of God. And we'll read this from Epistle of St. Peter, 1 Peter, beginning with the second verse. I'm going to read this slowly, and friend, it's a wonderful blessing. I suggest that you often read it over. The more you read it, the more you see, the grander it becomes, and you then can truthfully say, O God, how great thou art. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ Jesus, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, to ready to be revealed, unveiling in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, though may need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus the Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Not a wonderful sermon? And then to know and to understand the meaning of it, how it applies to the new creation, the blessings that we receive by reading these wonderful epistles. They're written for us, dear brethren, because we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. This is a positive proof to me that before the foundation of this world, as St. Peter and St. Paul tells us, that we're chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And here Peter said we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That is, the new creation was in the mind of the great God of the universe, that under the permission of evil, when it came, He would select a bride for his blessed Son, called the new creation, elect, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That is, those whom he foreknew, the class, not the individual, but the class, the new creation, was planned for before the foundation of the world. There's something to think about, my dearly beloved. Wonderful thoughts. Through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. This applies to you. It applies to me. And to think that we are kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God, yes. How? Through faith. What for? Unto salvation, ready to be revealed, unveiling, as Weymouth gives it, in the last time. I believe we've arrived to that period of time. I believe it with my whole heart. I believe, my dearly beloved, and I think you do, I hope you do, that we're living in the presence of Christ. This has been pressed upon my mind because I was an elder of the Saginaw, Michigan class. And as you all know, that accident that took place after Bloomington, our sister, Sunbaum, and brother Stuart, Brother Connell, how they were delivered. Now we always believed, since we've had the truth, that one of us would pass beyond the veil, we'd be caught up in the air with the Lord, and never be with him. Now I want you to think over these things. We're living in the most wonderful time in all the history of ages. In the parousia or the presence of Christ. Knowing positively that if we now pass beyond the veil, we'll be caught up in the air with the Lord and never be with him. Now I said to one brother, you told me your mother died recently. I didn't know her. Oh, yes, brother, you knew her. She used to sit right before you. Well, I said, perhaps if I saw her, I would know her. But I said, brother, do you think she made her calling and election sure? Oh, yes, he says, surely. She made her calling and election sure. Well, I said, if she did, she'd be changed in the twinkling of an eye and caught up in the air with the Lord, wouldn't she? Why, he said, yes, of course. But I said, brother, you don't believe that. Well, what do you mean? I said, you don't believe in the presence of Christ. How could your mother be caught up in the air with the Lord if the Lord wasn't in the air? I said, the Lord must be in the air. Changed in the twinkling of an eye, caught up in the air with the Lord. Well, he never thought of that. I said, Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. Ephesians 2:2. Satan is the god of this world. Hasn't he been present ever since Jesus saw Satan like lightning fall from heaven? Yeah. Did you ever see Satan? No. Well, I said, you don't see the Lord either. But he's present. That brings the joy unspeakable and full of glory, as Peter tells us. Who are kept by the power of God. How are we kept? by the power of God. What is that power? Oh, yes, I hear you say. It is the Holy Spirit, right? But friends, it's more added to that. Our dear pastor told us, and I believe it is true, that here the power of God refers to the Word of God. Oh, I see. You and I are kept by the Word of God? Well, yes. Apostle James said that we're begotten through the Word of God. That's how powerful it is. We're sanctified by the Word of God. That's right. The Word of God is His plans and purposes. That's right. You still believe in the plans and purposes of God? You haven't cast out the plan of the ages, have you? No. Well, why do you tell the brethren that you do not believe in the presence of Christ? Brother, he said, I never thought of it. He began to cry. I said, brother, think it over. Where is your mother if she made her calling and election sure? She's on the other side of the veil with the Lord. I see it now. Of course, it's plain, isn't it, dear brethren? Kept by the power of God, His manifold wisdom keeps us by the power of God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That's the class. They're kept by the power of God through faith. Oh, I see. Peter's faith was tested. Of course it was, to the uttermost. I'd just like to call to mind the few tests that Peter had. You remember one time they were fishing? Went back fishing. Jesus said, I'll make you fishermen of men. But there they were out in their little boat, and suddenly Peter stood up. There he saw a figure walking upon the water. And he said to his brethren, it's the Lord, it's the Master. My, what a joy that must have been. Peter, you know, I can see him buckling up his fishing coat. And he cried, Master, bid me to come. Jesus said to him, come, Peter. Come out. Peter, you see him walking, stepping on that water, beginning to walk. And suddenly the waves and the billows. And then Peter began to sink. Whoa, down he would go. But Jesus reached out his hand and he lifted up Peter, that great man. He lifted up Peter and he said, oh, Peter, wherefore didst thou doubt? His faith wasn't very strong, was it? No, not too strong. He wasn't at the end of his faith, as we read here. My, I'd have liked to have seen that, wouldn't you? My, what a lesson it was. To St. Peter, he lifted him up. Peter, wherefore didst thou doubt, thou of little faith? His faith was small, wasn't it, after all? And so it is with us. We think we're strong in the power of his might. Suddenly something will come along. It takes you right off your feet. Another experience he had recorded in the 12th chapter of Acts. Peter was cast into prison. An old Bible dungeon. Chained down there. Quaternion of soldiers watchful over that prison. Peter knew that he was going to be executed. Because the Lord had made him fisherman of men. But the account tells us that Peter was fast asleep. Oh, that was a wonderful face exemplified there. Fast asleep, knowing he's going to be executed among them soldiers. And suddenly a little light appeared in the prison. And suddenly something tapped him on the shoulder. Peter, arise, put on your mantle. Well, I imagine Peter looked down and seen those chains and that iron ball. But the scriptures say that the chains fell from his feet. Peter stood up, and the messenger that God sent in that prison with that little light before him, follow thou me. That was all. Just follow me. Now, I imagine if it was me, I'd get up and say, what's going on around here? I'd woke up everybody in the prison. Don't you think you would, too? No, Peter was quiet. And there, the great door, the great iron door. How will you ever get out of that door with all these soldiers? Yes, but they were fast asleep. And now think what happened. That great iron door just opened of its own accord, and Peter walked out. My, wasn't that something? Wasn't that a deliverance? He was coming to the end of his faith. I can imagine it. Peter stood out there and he said, oh, God, how great thou art. Yes, he perhaps worshipped God more than ever before. And there was a girl, Rhoda, coming up at home over there. And she saw Peter. And she quick run back in the house. And they thought it was a spirit or something in that house. What were they doing in there? They were singing hymns and having their prayers. Who told you the Bible never told us anything about a prayer meeting? There was a prayer meeting, wasn't it? They had a prayer meeting, the 12th chapter of Acts. Don't you think we'd ought to have them? yes, indeed, dear brethren. And then it says, they opened the door and Peter walked in. What was this? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I imagine they put their arms around each other, hugged each other, and their eyes filled with tears. Unspeakable. They didn't have to speak. And what was it? Joy. Unspeakable. Peter said, and full of glory. What a deliverance. Oh, my dearly beloved. Great miracles will be performed to bring forth this new creation. There's no doubt about it in my mind. The more you read the truth, the more you study the truth. I mean the truth. The truth of those six volumes of scripture studies and the tabernacle. Isn't it strange that some will take one of the volumes, to say the second volume or one of them, tear it all to pieces and throw it out? But every Sunday they'll come to study the sixth volume. And they'll talk about Brother Russell as being that servant. Well, he wrote the wrote all six volumes, didn't he? Why throw out one and study the other one? There's something wrong. I'm sure they do some thinking. The adversary's getting in there and they're going to break up a clash. I've seen these things done the past 50 years. My dearly beloved, we have the truth. And now our final tests are coming to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved there. Your crown is waiting. See that no man take thy crown. How can any man take my crown or your crown? Well, that's what St. Paul said. Well, I think there's many standing at the door of the tabernacle waiting to be drawn into the holies, don't you? I am the door, come in, and leave without all sin, fear and sin. The night is dark, the storm is wild. Oh, come within, thou weary child, one more, and one more, and one more. It's been that way all the time. Well, why? Somebody dropped the crown. They dropped the cross. They stopped carrying their cross. Therefore, there's no crown. Come in. Take a seat at the table. Listen to Brother Roscovich. Keep your feet under the table. Let us do it. Let us keep our feet under that table. There's all the food on the table. We're in the harvest. It isn't quite closed yet. And he gave us that special servant, a faithful and wise servant. That's what made him wise, because he was faithful. And then he put on the first course on that table. See the banqueting hall? All illuminated with lights. That's the banqueting hall. There's the table. Here we sit around the table with our feet under the table. What are we doing? We're feasting. Feasting with what? And on what? The truth. His word. Kept by the power of God. His word. Through faith unto salvation. Oh. The 10th verse of the 22nd chapter of Matthew in the parable of the wedding feast. There it says in the 10th verse, and the king came in. He came into the banqueting hall. He's present. See that? And he saw a man, not having on the wedding garment. Well, how did he ever get in there? He had it on before he got in there. He had on the robe of Christ's righteousness, but he lost it. He was going around that banqueting hall with some of his own literature, his own ideas. And the Lord said to him, friend, addressed him as a friend, friend, how comest thou in thither, not having on the wedding garment? And he was speechless. Speechless. Couldn't talk. There's a class like that in the earth today. They reach over and take the bread off the table and they make a sandwich of their own. And then they like to have those that sit at the table with their feet under the table to eat their sandwiches. Don't you do it. The table is filled. The first course that the pastor brought and put on that table was the tabernacle sandwich of better sacrifice. That's the first course. Then out of that came the first volume, the second volume, the third volume, the fourth volume, the fifth volume, and the sixth volume. Well, my, that's seven-course dinner, isn't it? I didn't say for seven volumes. I said it's a seven-course dinner. And they're all still on the table. You want to take some of them off and throw it away? Don't you do it. If you'll do it, the Lord will say to those sitting at the table, bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness. Well, he came from darkness into his marvelous light, didn't he? Yeah. And I'll tell you, friends, it's marvelous light to be in that banqueting hall. But he came out of darkness. But if he's cast out, he's cast out into outer darkness. Well, did you notice that? The Lord commanded, cast him out into outer darkness. We're living in the most momentous time in all the history of ages. Right? The Lord is now gathering his jewels. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. A royal diadem. Well, one brother will say, yes, that brother or that sister was taken, but the other one left. That's right. That's what the Lord said. Does that mean the other one that's left didn't make their calling election? Sure, no, don't say that. No, don't say that. A star differs from star in glory. How do they differ? They're all stars. All the new creation is stars. They're all diamonds, we'll put it that way. But they differ in glory. The Lord is fitting you for a place in that royal diadem right there. I couldn't take that place. No. He's fitting you for a place in the royal diadem. And in his due time, he'll have you there. One by one. Finally, the royal diadem is made up. And oh, what a diadem it'll be. That royal diadem will be displayed to all of God's intelligent creatures throughout the endless ages of eternity. Here's my masterpiece, the greatest creation that ever was created in the universe, is the new creation. And it'll soon be complete. Look at the things that have taken place in this earth. The whole earth. Revolting. Things taking place have been foretold in your Bible too many to enumerate. Take hours to tell about all the prophecies. I'd like to call to mind one, if you don't mind. Remember the time in the house of Israel, when Moses went up in the mount for 40 days and 40 nights, the house of Israel, they thought Moses would never come back. And so Aaron was in this too, you know. Although they took their golden rings and their golden earrings and their bracelets, and they gave them to the leaders, and they made a golden calf, cast one. And they set up that golden calf. Look at it. The sun shined upon how beautiful, glittering. Look at this. And the Lord saw it. And the Lord said to Moses, Moses, get thee hence from this mountain. For the children of Israel, whom thou hast delivered, have corrupted themselves. Moses standing there with the two tables of the law. What would you have done? If you were Moses, I imagine Moses trembled. But what was Moses to do? To get thee hence from this mountain. See what they've done. The children whom thou hast delivered. I see. We see the Moses come down. He put a veil over his face. A veil was over his face between him and the people. I'm glad of that. There's a veil between us and the Lord. But we're still in his presence. You see Moses coming down from the mountain. He stood at the side there and he saw. Why? They're dancing around a golden calf. And he was wroth. They took the two tables of the law and cast them down and break them. Much as to say, you've broken every law that God ever gave you. And he was wroth. And he had a right to be. He had a right to express righteous indignation, didn't he? Hasn't God a right now to express righteous indignation with what they're all doing?